And now Politics Monday with Amy Walter of the Cook Political Report. She's also the host of Public Radio's Politics with Amy Walter from The Takeaway. And Tamara Keith from NPR. She co-hosts the NPR Politics podcast. Amy, Tam, welcome. Tam, let me start with you. We heard Lisa told us in that report the findings from that Iowa poll where you've got two groupings. You've got really four candidates in double digits and then a big drop-off. Is that likely to be that? I mean, have we already divided this field up?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is that some of those candidates who are in the 1% and 2% were higher up in people's minds and in voters' minds a few months ago. So among the top five, like if you add Kamala Harris into this group that includes Pete Buttigieg, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders, if you dig into this poll a little bit deeper and you look at who is a second choice, who is actively being considered, then even though Kamala Harris is only at 7% in the main poll, if you add those other items in, she moves up and she's part of that group. And it really says that there are a lot of second choices, there are a lot of people considering a lot of others, and that a lot of movement could still happen. This is definitely not locked in.
Right. Second choice, of course, in the Iowa caucus is very important because if a candidate doesn't get enough to cross a threshold, then they regroup and choose others. Amy, as we heard, Lisa also reported, they asked people, Democratic likely caucus goers in Iowa, whether certain characteristics would be an advantage or a disadvantage. We've got another question. A plurality said that a candidate being over age 70 would be a disadvantage. This, of course, running against Donald Trump, who's in his 70s. But of the three of the top people in that poll, here are their ages on election day.
Right. So it speaks to a couple of things. One, Tam's point that this is still a very fluid field, and a majority for those top few candidates that we talked about, majority of voters saying they're at least giving some attention to these candidates. 50-60% of voters saying, yeah, I am taking a look at them. I am putting them in my mind as a potential person I could vote for. So speaks to the fluidity. The other thing it speaks to is the fact that these voters are super cross-pressured because not only do they believe that being over 70 is not an asset against Donald Trump, but the number one advantage they see of a candidate right now to go up against Donald Trump, having experience in Washington, which all three of those candidates possess. Certainly the vice president possesses that in, you know, much more than all of the other candidates. The other thing that was really interesting in this poll in terms of other assets that Democrats were looking for, they still believe that finding the candidate who is best suited or best able to beat Donald Trump is more important to them than finding a candidate who aligns with their views or their ideology. So once again, it's this battle over who's the most electable, which the only way we're going to find out who's the most electable is to see
who's the most electable.
Who wins Iowa is going to set the table for who the most electable is.
There was also in that poll the age and experience, of course, speaks to Joe Biden. But are there danger signs or warning signs in that, other warning signs in that poll for Joe Biden?
Well, and I was actually looking at Bernie Sanders and warning signs for him because he, you know, last time around and earlier, there was a big space between Bernie Sanders the next tier of candidates. And now Bernie Sanders is basically in a lock with Mayor Pete Buttigieg of South Bend, Indiana, and Elizabeth Warren, Senator Warren. And Senator Warren talks about many of the same themes in many of the same ways that Bernie Sanders does. Now, interestingly, Pete Buttigieg is sort of trying to be more of a middle-of-the-road Democrat in much the same way that Joe Biden does without any of the historical baggage.
Yeah, and the other issue for Biden, the challenge for him, what you see underneath the numbers is the enthusiasm for him among Democrats is not as high as it is for the other Democrats in the race. So voters are saying, yeah, I'm voting for him, but they're not as enthusiastic about supporting him as Democratic voters are for some of the other people in this race. But look, I know these polls are early and it's just a snapshot of time. It's important. But this is where we're going to, you know, it's important that we understand where this race starts. And as we're watching it move forward, and I think Tam makes this very good point, which is the fluidity of this. But it's also confirming a lot of the things that we've been saying about Iowa. Voters are kicking the tires. They're interested in knowing who these people are. They want to find an electable candidate. And they're not they're open to a whole bunch of different kinds of candidates who don't necessarily fit one distinct ideological profile.
Movement today on, or activity today on, investigations into President Trump, the deal with the Justice Department to get some evidence sent to Congress. There was a hearing, House Judiciary Committee today. Last week in the PBS NewsHour NPR Marist poll, asked Democrats about whether they believe that the impeachment proceeding should start or continue the investigation. Very divided. It's also very divided in the House. What does this say about how the Democrats in Washington proceed? How do they move through this?
Well, I think they're trying to have it both ways, which was what today was about. It is showing that 36% who want to start impeachment proceedings that, look, we are holding the Department of Justice accountable because we threatened to subpoena the Department of the Attorney General. We got these documents. We're going to hold hearings. We will be able to show America what was in the Mueller report. For those people who say, I really don't want to start impeachment hearings, they're not impeachment hearings. We're just asking questions. We're just getting documents, right? Everybody gets what they want. Also notable in the Iowa poll, Iowa Democrats, who are also a pretty, generally, pretty liberal group, also evenly divided.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. And today's hearing, which included cable news fixtures coming to provide testimony that mm-hmm. was not unlike what they provide on cable news right. on a regular basis, is unlikely to change anyone's mind.
Right.
If you are a Republican, if you're a Democratic House member who is in a purple district, you're not going to watch that hearing and say, oh my gosh, I need to change my position. We should move forward with impeachment today because these people who say this all the time said it again in a House hearing. As an indication of how this is probably not moving anyone, today CNN moved away from that hearing as the hearing was happening very quickly because there was a helicopter crash in New York City, and that became wall-to-wall coverage. And if this were a real impeachment hearing, that would have the wall-to-wall coverage. A helicopter crash probably wouldn't pull people away from it.
Tamara Keith, that's got to be the last word. Tam, thank you very much. Amy Walter, thank you.
You're welcome.